You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Let me illustrate. Some of you may have been following the frenzy of what's going on in the United States right now. It's called the Powerball Lottery. Anyone heard about this? It's a new jackpot. As of last night, the jackpot was $949.8 million. And they were thinking it was, the draw was last night at 11 p.m., and they thought that the jackpot would be won last night because 75% of all the combination of numbers had been sold. And but it turns out that guess what? No one won it. And so guess what the jackpot is now? $1.3 billion is the lottery current at, and that'll for the next drawing. Now, the U.S. headlines I just was looking at said, record Powerball jackpot, irresistible for thousands in the U.S. And tickets sale as people find a chance to win the 900-plus million first prize. Now, say, let me illustrate this all in. Say you wanted to be all in to win the Powerball lottery, which I really don't recommend. But if you were, imagine what you would do is you would liquidate everything and buy as many tickets as you could if you were all in. For instance, you would empty your bank account. You would liquidate all your retirement savings. You would sell your house if you had one, your car, your furniture, your smartphone, your computer. I mean, everything. And then what you would do with all that money, you would buy as many tickets as possible, and then you would go all in and hope that you were the winner. Now, it's not a good idea because the odds are against you. But that would be what, if someone were to go all in for the Powerball, that's what it would mean to go all in. It means everything. And so I'm just trying to get this, because this idea of all in is going to overshadow our first 6 weeks. It's going to be the overarching theme, even as we look at the different values that we want to go all in on. This is the attitude that we're going to keep coming back to. And so one of the ways to explore what something means is to look at the opposite of it. And so being all in is not being tentative. It's not being half-hearted. It's not holding back. It's not playing your options. And it's not partially invested. In other words, there's not a mixed desire there. But on the other hand, when you are all in, then what does that look like? Nothing else will satisfy. You would rather have nothing. Your heart is fully invested, and you will do anything. For our text this morning, we're going to look at what Jesus had to say about being all in, and then our first all-in attitude, which is creating a generous people, which we're calling a culture of engaging or an outward focus. Luke 9, 23 to 26, here's our scripture for today. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. We talk a lot here about following the call, about finding what it is that God has created you for and pouring yourself into that. We talk a lot about it all starts with knowing God because he's the one who made us and acknowledging that he is the creator and that he is also the one who can redeem us and change us. And then he can send us out on purpose with something to do. But when we look about this following Jesus and following the call, one of the things we realize from Jesus is that his call to us is actually an all-in proposition. It's an all-in proposition. Jesus' call to us is an all-in proposition. In fact, there was a young man who came to him at one time, and he had a lot of money. And Jesus realized that if he was ever going to have a chance to be first place in this rich young ruler's life, that somehow he would have to challenge that thing that at the core of his being, what he was really living for. He was probably a wonderful guy in a lot of different areas. He was doing all kinds of things. But the core affection of his heart was on money. And so Jesus knew it. And he knew that this was going to be all in for this man. Whenever Jesus called someone, he called them and he said, leave your nets. It was an all in. If they were fishermen, it was their, whatever it was, that he was calling them specifically to leave behind and to follow him. And when Jesus challenged this young man, come and follow me. But he said something. He said, first, I want you to take everything you have, everything you own. I want you to sell it and give to the poor and then come and follow me. It was amazing that this man couldn't do it. He wasn't ready. He wasn't ready to make that decision. He couldn't do it. You know, it's really interesting because Jesus at that point, you know, he didn't turn to that young man and said, hey, it's okay. In the new Easy Come to Jesus Church, there's a down payment plan. You know, 10% of your idols can go on the shelf, and then, you know, next year we'll, you know, do a few more, and it's the easy payment plan to following Jesus. But Jesus didn't do that. It's better to wait and reflect. And that's why here, you know, we give you time. If you're not following Jesus and you're coming around, we keep coming. And one of the things that why we don't push people in that way is because we know that the decision that you have to make is an all-in decision. And you have to be ready to make that. And you don't make this kind of decision, like what was said when we were sharing the offering, you don't make it on just a feeling or emotional, because it's an act of your will to follow when God calls. And so it is an all-in proposition. Now, in this series, we want to look at six areas that are really prominent, or we might call it in our church our key or core values of things that we really want to be all in for. You know, we want to be all in as a culture of engagement. We want to be all in for discipleship. We want to be all in for developing and influencing and raising up leaders. We want to be all in for generosity. We want to be all in to be a belonging family. And we want to be all in to be a reproducing church, planting church. And even on that one, you say, well, what does it have to do with the individual? All of these have to do with the individual and the corporate. Even that last one I shared of reproducing, you realize that if we don't all believe that, then when it comes time to say, you know, we have to actually sacrifice even more to send people and move, then we're not going to like it. Hey, I signed up for the church that was like this, and now it's gone. No, you're signing up for a vision. You're signing up for a destiny. And it includes multiplication. And so all of these values that we're going to pack each and every week all have an individual and a corporate aspect to it. And so in the line of the video, you know, I said this, it's not so much about all the things that we're going to do. And we do a lot here, actually. It's not so much all the things we do, but it's the people that we want to be. It's the type of people that we want to be. When people encounter us, they sense a people that love God. That they sense a people that love others. That they sense a people that loves this city. That they sense that there's a people who are not just living for themselves. That they feel a people who are excited about the future and the prospect of the coming kingdom of God, which is already but not yet. People who are excited, as I said many times, that when we go to work, we don't just clock in to our earthly master, but at the same time, we're clocking in to our heavenly master and our King Jesus. And we say, yeah, we have all these rules at the workplace, and we have all these rules in the classroom. But then at the same time, we see a king that's given us, in a sense, another way to live. And we are going to live according to and in allegiance to him. And actually, people who do that, they actually become what Jesus said. They become salt and light into the world. They become the best employees. They become the best students. The ones that you never have to worry about them cheating on an exam. You wouldn't even have to have a classroom monitor. Do you know why? Because they're already monitored by their Lord, and they would never want to do something that would displease them. And so we want to describe these things. And so this first one, and I'm going to draw it out of our text today, is that we want to be all in as an outward-focused people and therefore an outward-focused church. This posture will create what we call a culture of engagement. And that's not an easy thing to do for two reasons. First of all, because we are bent towards selfishness. For those of you who are parents, how many of you have had to, at a young age, teach your children to be selfish? Or you had to teach them to learn how to not share their toys? Somehow, where does that come from? Where does that come from? That is what we, when we talk about the God story, creation, fall, redemption, recreation, that's part of the fall. That's part of the sinful aspect of our lives. And so because of that, there's always a proclivity to pull us back inward and towards thinking about ourselves rather than God and others. It's within us, and it's something that as disciples, as followers of Christ, that means a disciple or a disciplined one, that means that day by day we resist that urge. Day by day we say, no, I'm not going to always be thinking about myself. I'm going to turn myself and my eyes outward towards God and towards others. So the first thing is just because of what we would call the Adamic nature and the sin nature and the fallen aspect of the world that we live in, that we are not completely free from sin. We are free from the penalty of sin. We're being saved from the power of sin. One day we'll be saved from the presence of sin. But we're still in that fight. We're still on that journey. And then secondly, is because we are bombarded with messages to the contrary. Everywhere we go, there's a message. I was thinking of advertising, and I realized that advertisers, and now if you're in marketing, okay, you just keep doing a good job in marketing, okay? But I do believe that equally marketers appeal to the selfishness aspect of it as well as the good nature of us, okay? So I'm just going to put that down, that they understand how to tap into all aspects of who we are as people. And so, but I don't think that you would say, in other words, I can't imagine Jesus using these themes in advertising or the world around us. So the world around us says, gratify yourself. How about this one? I heard this, took this right off a commercial. Indulge yourself. How about this one? Reward yourself. Here's another one. Pamper yourself. Yeah, pamper yourself. I'm going to go get a mud bath. Feel good about yourself. You know, all of these things, they're not completely untrue or bad, but what we have to be careful with them is all of them are turning ourselves inward and putting that emphasis inward on ourselves rather than outward to God and to others. But Jesus says if we want to follow him and discover the life he has to offer, then what does he say from our text? We must first, wow, this isn't very popular in our culture, deny yourself. Wow, we didn't get a roaring standing ovation on this one. I wouldn't even stand and clap for me because this challenges me. This challenges me when Jesus says, hey, you want to start it all off? You want to start walking with me? You want to have that amazing life? You want to be forgiven and have my power and have my will come in your life? And you want to find that and you want to walk in that? You're not satisfied for status quo, but you really want to, you want to live life to the full. You want to find out what you have been made for and you want to go for it. You want to be all in. He said the first thing, you have to deny yourself. And then begin to follow. It's a primary thing. It's a primary thing. So Jesus isn't something that you add on. It's something you turn from and to. There's something of, we have to do something different. Following Jesus begins with something called repentance, which is a change. It's actually a military term that means turn a 180. It's as if you're going one way. Repent! It's a turning. It's a turning from living our lives for self and then saying, no, instead, for the one who gave himself for me, now I turn towards him and I receive his life. What happens then when we deny ourselves? Actually, good things. You know, we just came off a week. Our church and our churches around the world take the first full week of January, Monday through Friday, and we have a week of prayer and fasting. And we encourage some of you, like this is your first time, you might have missed one meal, and we congratulate you. If that's the first time. Some of you did, you know, juice fast. Some of you did all kinds of different ways, but you had a week and you fasted and you prayed, and some of you went through our Dare to Believe booklet. And what was amazing to me is what was fasting about? It's denying something, isn't it? It's denying something that, now food's not bad, but it's good to deny ourselves of things from time to time. It's a healthy practice to deny. One of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control, and so we deny ourselves. And here's what's amazing to me, though. At the last night, everybody was hungry, and we worshiped and we prayed, and then Justin, one of our worship leaders, you know, he started to do a selfie, and all the people who are around there, they like just jumped in on that. And so, if you want to see this picture, go, you know, maybe not right now, but if your Facebook's with Justin, you can like go and you can see, and he tagged all of us. And if you just look at that photo of people who've denied themselves for a week. They didn't look all down and out. I mean, it was one of the nicest, happiest pictures. I almost feel like framing that picture, that selfie. And I'm not really a selfie fan. But just the faces and the excitement and the joy was so incredible. And that was actually after a week of denying. You see, the secret kingdom, the kingdom of God, is sometimes described as an upside-down kingdom. It's like you want your life, lose it. You want to be enriched, give your money away. Just so many things. Practically in this year, I want to challenge our church. As I said, and we want to go from an inward, we want to move towards an outward focus and a culture of engagement. I want to challenge all of you this year, just practical things. You know, our church is growing, and one of the problems with a growing church is that it's sometimes hard because we believe in a belonging church, and a lot of you have started to make some great relationships, and one of the problems with that is there's a tendency, even in the church, believe it or not, is to get inward. Someone let you in, but the question is, are you going to reach out to the next person? Real practical ways, you know, after this time, we go out there and we hang out, usually till they chase us out of here at 1, to be honest. And we have food and we have coffee and we have tea and things. But, you know, sometimes new people show up, just to be honest, and they drink their coffee by themselves, okay? And that's not being an outward-focused church. And I know it's tempting to talk with your friends, and I'm saying don't talk with your friends. I talk with my friends. But don't just talk with your friends. Don't just talk with your friends. You know, one of the things about people reaching people is that there may be one person out there that only you can reach. There might be one person out there that only you can reach. And if you are that outward-focused follower of Jesus, you could be that person. We don't believe that the church is about superstars. I'm a coach. Rich is a coach. You're the players. You're the team. We're the team. I do my part, but it only works as what Corinthians says, every joint supplies, and that builds up the body. We all supply in different ways, but it all starts with an attitude. You see, we could give you a bunch of checklists, and that's why as a pastor, I'm very reticent to give too many checklists, because we live in a checklist kind of world where if you perform, then you're accepted. If you perform, then you get. And Christianity is the opposite of that. Because of Christ's ultimate performance, we're accepted. And so we've got to be very careful. Yet, at the same time, when we get the heart of a matter, the heart of the faith, it will result in these things. Every time. When we see Christ's heart and it affects our heart, it will turn us. I know in my life, it's really a miracle that I'm standing up in front of people. Let me just get real. I grew up in a family of seven kids. I was the sixth of seven, kind of a loner, quiet, shy, did not like to talk to people. And, you know, I just thought that was going to be my life. You know, I thought, you know, I grew up born and raised on Vancouver Island. I thought, you know, maybe go to Vancouver, go to UBC, get a degree, come back to our small town of 20,000 people and get a good job, a little job there in a mill or something like that. And then that would be it. And I could just go on with my little reclusive life. But when I got to the University of British Columbia and people of this movement, you know, preached the gospel and talked about this life, that if you will deny yourself and follow Jesus, that the limits can be taken off. That resonated in my heart. And I crossed that line of faith and was baptized and hands were laid on me and I received the Spirit of God and His fullness. And then I began to walk in a new direction. And God changed me. I've shared with you maybe before that one of the big areas of my life was fear. That was why I was so quiet and recluse. It's just the fear of man that would just I was just afraid all the time. Just people, big cities, things like that scared me. I think that God just loves it when He says, okay, I'm going to take this guy in this little town off. You have to get a ferry to even get to the island where he lives. And I'm going to put him in not the smallest, one of the smallest insignificant cities of Canada, but I'm going to go, I'm going to put him in the biggest. Because he could never do that. I think God's got a sense of humor. I say all that to encourage you. You can reach out. You can reach out. You can reach out to God, and you can reach out to others. There's many other ways that when we deny ourselves, that great things happen, beautiful things happen. And really, what it does unlock, and you've heard me say this phrase over and over again, it unlocks us to what? To see God, first of all, God in a new light. And that it also unlocks us to see people in a new light. You know, you're saying, well, why can't I see God more? Or why can't I enjoy people more? Because it takes a turning. It takes a step of faith to turn out of all the things that are consuming your thought. And again, we, like I said before, we have the innate Adamic, Adam and Eve, that's what all that Adamic means, is the first man and woman nature that we're battling with. And then we're also battling with so many voices that are reinforcing. I mean, how many people, you know, go out into the world and you're hearing voices like, hey, deny yourself. You just don't hear it. And that's why even like for myself, just putting that on the screen and looking at it myself, I go, wow, this is unusual. This is unusual communication, unusual media coming at us today. Deny yourself. But Jesus knew that denying ourselves was what was going to unlock ourselves to see God in a greater way. And it takes all of us to take that step and continue to see that self. You don't see God like you should when we don't make that turn from being outward. And so this is a value for us. We want to be all in for this. We want to be all in to be an outward focused people. How many people are with me to be an all in for outward focus? Kind of a mouthful, isn't it? All in for outward focus. And what would happen? Just imagine how we could all in 2016 grow as individuals, grow as followers of Jesus, if we would hear him. And you know, how do we get there? How do we get there? Yes, I'm exhorting you, and that's one of the gifts of Scripture, is to exhort you to do this. But the other thing is to exhort you to look at our Savior and look at our Lord. I mean, when you really think about this, the time when he transitioned into Jerusalem and they started by just hailing him. Oh, Jesus, you're the greatest man. Come on, come on, come on into our city. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And he rode the donkey in his last trip into Jerusalem and the crowds were cheering him, man. They were cheering him. And then he was accused and then he was arrested. And then he was taken captive and by Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor at the time, and he was pronounced that this guy has to die. He has to be crucified. He has to endure this horrific death. And I'm thinking of, you know, Jesus, it's a good thing that he had already denied himself for you and I. Because if he hadn't, then when the pressure got on, he would have been able to say, which he revealed, he could have called on the Father's angels and everybody and rescued him during his time of pressure and his time of temptation, but he didn't. Instead, he denied himself for you and I. He did it. And so he did that first. And that's what gives us the ability. People, this is a combination of a decision of our will and the grace of God that he gives. Say that again. The way we're going to walk this out this year is a combination of the decision of our will and the grace that he gives through Jesus. And when those two things come together, we can take those steps and we can move forward and be those all in for outward focus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this new year. And this is a challenging word for us. God, that you actually call us to live outward lives. And it all starts by denying ourselves. And God, we're just asking for your grace now to be showered upon us. Because we know that pep talks don't work. Motivational talks don't work. Guilt and manipulation does not work. Playing on pride, fear, and insecurities, that doesn't work. Only a fresh power from you works. But God, we are open here today. We are actually open. And we are saying, God, help us. Help us deny ourselves in 2016. Help us be those outward-focused people. And then we pray for our church, God, for Every Nation GTA, that it will be marked as an outward-focused church. A church that you can feel the culture of engagement. It can be felt. It's your church, and we dedicate this year once again to you and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.